So for tonight, let's open our Bibles, please, to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation 6 tonight. We're kind of picking up a study we started some time back through the book of Revelation, and I'm coming back to it tonight. We've looked at most of the book already. In Revelation chapter 4, in verse 1, if you'll recall, after John was given seven letters to send to the seven churches of Asia Minor, to whom John had ministered actually as an apostle, John then sees a door opened in heaven, and he hears a voice like a trumpet saying, "Come up hither." And then throughout chapters 4 to 5, John then describes a scene in the throne room of heaven. And we read in Revelation 4, verse 3, he sees one on the throne there, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. Upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. Down in verse 6, and before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne, round about the throne, were four beasts, full of eyes before and behind. First beast was like a lion, second beast like a calf, and the third beast had the face of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." And we can presume these are the same four beasts we see there in the first few chapters there, the book of Ezekiel. In chapter 5 then, John first sees a scroll in the right hand of him who sat upon the throne. And of course, that was God the Father. John says that scroll contained writing on both sides of the parchment, which was then rolled up and sealed with what was common in those days, embossed wax seals. Seven of them, seven wax seals. And then John weeps much because no one was found who was worthy to take the scroll and loose its seals until one of the 24 elders seated about God's throne said to John, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." As we've covered in prior messages, various titles or purposes are given to this sealed scroll by various commentators. Some call it the Book of Judgment. Others the Book of the New Covenant. But as I had said before, the designation that makes by far the most sense to me is that this book could be seen as the title deed to the earth. Roman wills often bore seven wax seals embossed or impressed with the signet ring of the testator of the will to prove its origination. That is reportedly true of the wills that were left by Caesars Augustus and Vespasian. Those wills then could only be opened by those having a claim to the will. And that seems to fit this scroll. Only the Lord Jesus has claim of ownership to this planet. Only he can open these seals. He created the world. He gave man dominion over it. And then he redeemed it after man lost dominion to Satan. This world belongs to Jesus. And again, to repeat, the Lord Jesus is not going to abandon this planet to the devil. And so then, however, before the title can be perfected, those seven seals must be broken, which in this case means that the earth must be purified by the fire of judgment before it can be restored to its Edenic state and ruled in person by the Lord Jesus. That is the purpose to be accomplished as these judgments, as the judgments and the wrath of God are poured out then in the ensuing following chapters of the book. So then in chapter 6, the Lord Jesus begins to loose those seven seals. And for tonight then, I want to focus on the third of those seven seals, which we read about in verse 5, where John says, "And when he had opened the third seal," he, Jesus, had opened the third seal, "I heard the third beast," meaning the third of those four beasts that surrounded God's throne, "that third beast said, 'Come and see.' And behold, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, 'A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine.'" When that first seal is loosed, the man of sin and son of perdition that we know as the Antichrist rises to political power. At the loosing of that second seal, then, we see peace being taken from the earth, signifying there that global warfare is unleashed on the planet. And then at the loosing of this third seal, we see the global famine that follows and probably results from that same warfare. Famine always follows the sword, and that's what happens here. We don't know who the rider is on this black horse, but we know that whoever the rider signifies, he has been authorized to ration out food to those dwelling on the earth. And that by a very small measure, for which purpose he holds a pair of balances here in his hand. And these are not, may I say, the balances of justice, but instead, these balances are for governmental food distribution and rationing, I believe. I'll say that tonight. I haven't noticed that before, but I'm going to make that statement tonight. Governmental food distribution and rationing. We read in verse 6, "When I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, 'A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny.'" We know from our Lord's parable of the laborers in the vineyard in Matthew chapter 20 that at the time of John's writing, a penny was a common wage to be paid for a day's labor. We read in Matthew 20, verse 1, this is Jesus relaying this parable, "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard." Verse 2, "And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day," a penny a day, "he sent them into his vineyard." And then also that word measure, a measure of wheat and three measures of barley. That word is translated from the Greek word koinix, that being a dry measure of about 2 pints or a quart. Ordinarily, or in better times, a penny, also known as a Roman denarius, would buy really from 16 to 18 measures of wheat, we read in the commentaries. But at the loosing of this third seal, either because food and grain has become so scarce and hard to come by, or because the denarius itself, the local currency, has been so devalued via what we now call inflation, or perhaps due to both those conditions acting at the same time, as we strangely see taking place in our world right now. So that here in these verses, the picture is that an entire day's wages will only buy enough wheat to feed one man, one measure of wheat. And if the man has a family he has to buy for, then he has to buy much less nutritious and cheaper barley instead, so he gets three measures of barley for that same day's wages. With, by the way, no money left over for the other things that he needs to buy for his family, such as paying the rent or the mortgage, or the government taxes and tribute demanded by the local publicani, the local native tax collectors who sold out to Rome and so were seen as traitors. So with no way to afford these other expenses, there'd be no way for the day laborer to be able to think about affording what John describes next. When he heard that voice in the midst of the beast say, "And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." Those things, the more luxurious things of life, are in such days of famine reserved for the wealthy landowners who can afford to hire the laborers to work in their fields. So this third seal speaks of feast and famine at the same time. Global famine for most of the world's population, while the ruling elite still enjoy their luxurious lifestyle. And during this time, famine will prevail. Most of the peoples of the world will be impoverished and starving, and the food supply will be rationed out by governmental decree, probably via governmental agencies, to those who willingly submit to those agencies, who bow down to Caesar, who say Caesar is Lord, and who willingly receive his number. All of which, may I say, are the very conditions that we strangely, or not so strangely, see developing in our world today, including the food and supply chain shortages, the rapid devaluation of the currency, also known as inflation, and the soon total control of food production and distribution by the globalist ruling elite, all of which has been planned and engineered to ultimately exert total control over the world's population. We're hearing much in the news in recent days about food shortages. even a baby formula shortage that is now approaching emergency conditions, they're saying today. And the strange thing is, or perhaps not so strange, is that these shortages are not just, or they're not localized. These conditions are being implemented globally, having been created first via the COVID-19 lockdowns and the resultant near shutdown of the global economy, and now, of course, exacerbated by America's proxy war in Ukraine against Russia, which has cut off supply of wheat to the West, not only from Ukraine and Russia, but also from China, and now India also. At this point, I'm going to share a couple articles with you, and these articles are from War News 24/7, which, by the way, is a Greek news outlet from Greece. And if you want to go to War News 24/7, you have to go via a browser that has a translator out of Greek, because you'll find this entire website in the Greek language. If you can read Greek like Jade almost can, then do that. But this is what we're seeing here is via Google Translator, and so it's not the best translation of the Greek. But anyway, and I'll add this also, that if you really want to get good news about what's going on over there in Europe, you're not going to get it from Western media. And this is one good source to find some good news. This is an article. This just came out today. The German foreign minister accuses Russia of using hunger as a weapon of war. Brief article here. Germany's foreign minister, Annalena Baerbock, yesterday, accused Russia of blocking grain exports from Ukraine because it uses hunger as a weapon of war. Quote, Russia is waging this war with another horrible and effective weapon, hunger and deprivation. By launching a blockade of Ukrainian ports, destroying storage facilities, roads, and railways, Russia has launched a war on grain, causing a global food crisis, she said during a meeting with her U.S. counterpart. It's doing so at a time when millions of people are already threatened with famine, especially in the Middle East and Africa, because of the devastating effects of the climate crisis, etc., etc. And much of this present situation, by the way, in grain shortages, etc., has been caused by the American empire. This is another article. I mentioned this past Sunday. India bans grain exports too. West's last hope lost. This again is from War News 24/7. Preparing for a global food crisis. The government of India, which by the way is now siding with China and Russia against the American empire. The government of India has announced a ban on the export of cereals with immediate effect, as the country with the second largest production of cereals in the world is trying to keep prices in the domestic market in their own nation. By the way, with China, Russia, and India, I mean, most of the world's population and landmass is centered in those three nations. This article says, we remind you that Russia and China also have banned these grain exports. It's obvious that the great powers are preparing for a global food or war crisis. We've never seen this before, of course. I mean, this is a new development here. Exports of cereals for orders for which payments have already been made are excluded, the Indian government clarified. The international markets bet on India in terms of grain supplies after exports from the Black Sea, meaning Ukraine, fell after the Russian invasion of Ukraine in late February. By the way, Ukraine has been historically a huge exporter of wheat. So India now, domestic challenges in India have intensified in recent weeks. Hundreds of acres of wheat crops were damaged during the hottest March in the country, causing yields to plummet by up to 50%. We're seeing that, of course, out in Kansas as well. So India also then has joined in this. But what the takeaway from this is they're preparing for a global food crisis. We're hearing a lot of talk about coming famine. This famine has been created. I mean, really, has been engineered. None of this is good news, especially for the West, for America, and those allied with her, for NATO, Australia, Japan, and Israel. But then in addition to food shortages, at the same time, we also have to deal with the price gouging of gasoline, which is in no short supply. They're just gouging the prices on it, because they can do that. And also, we're having to deal with runaway inflation, devaluation of the currency, of the type that has not been seen in 40 years. And of course, you know, the talking heads on Fox News are blaming Joe Biden for all the inflation we're seeing and laughing at Joe Biden for saying it's not his fault. But I got news for you tonight. The fact of the matter is, it's not Joe Biden's fault. The inflation we're seeing is the inevitable result, actually, of the 6 $1 trillion COVID-19 bailouts that were handed out in fiat Federal Reserve notes to pay the American people to stop working. And that was done, by the way, back in 2020 when Donald Trump was in office, who was also responsible, by the way, for, as we know, for introducing us to Dr. Anthony Fauci and his team of Jesuits that comprised Trump's COVID task force. Trump, by the way, is also responsible for Operation Warp Speed and bragging about dropping all necessary safeguards and standards for vaccine testing in order to crank out his mRNA vaccines that no one needed and that did far more harm than good, we all know, killed many people. Those policies and actions are in large part what caused the rampant inflation that America is now seeing. Many are complaining about $40 billion now in additional aid to Ukraine being debated right now in the Senate. But just to put things in perspective, the $6 trillion handed out in COVID-19 bailouts, that is $6,000 billion as opposed to $40 billion. $6,000 billion. You can't even comprehend how much money that is. This is an astronomical number of dollars created at the stroke of a pen and out of thin air. That's how the Federal Reserve creates money, out of thin air. And it is precisely that astronomical increase of the money supply out of thin air that defines the term monetary inflation. It's inflation of the money supply that causes the currency to devalue against the value of goods. This type of inflation, by creation of money out of thin air, is a form of taxation whereby the government spends whatever it wants on fake money while the people have to continue to have less and less purchasing power. It is a form of taxation. All of which was done in 2020. Why? In order to put people out of work due to a planned and staged pandemic, to pay them to stay home. So between that and a combined globally engineered food shortage crisis, which is globally engineered, it appears that soon, even here in America, which we were once falsely told when we were kids was the breadbasket of the world, we will soon see conditions in America where a measure of wheat or three measures of barley will cost an entire day's wages as the ruling elite seek to exert totalitarian control via control of both the money supply and the food supply and the fuel supply and everything else. By the way, it's even obvious, blatantly obvious to many non-Christian unbelievers in this world that there is indeed a globalist cabal who have an evil agenda to rule the world using these tactics. I've mentioned Dr. Joseph Mercola quite a bit over the past couple of years due to his very on-point and helpful coverage of the COVID-19 scamdemic. I've been a subscriber to Mercola's newsletters for many years, though I have never gotten the impression that he's a Christian or sees these things from a biblical perspective. That said, though, again, on this issue also, Mercola is a very helpful source of information. I woke up this morning to an email from Mercola with a subject line that said, quote, meat shortage alert. Are you prepared? Meat shortage alert. Are you prepared? Of course, that headline caught my eye. The email then had a link to a featured article titled New Food System Will Stop at Nothing to Control You. New Food System Will Stop at Nothing to Control You. The article begins with these very astute words. The globalist takeover agenda is nothing if not comprehensive. He writes, they're coming at us from every possible angle, and whether we're talking about biosecurity, finance, housing, healthcare, energy, transportation, or food, all the changes we're now seeing have that one goal, and that is to force compliance with a totalitarian slave system. That's Dr. Joseph Mercola writing that. Among these globalist attacks also is the much talked about World Health Organization's pandemic treaty, by which the United Nations World Health Organization, which means Bill Gates and company, is attempting to undermine and control the sovereignty of every nation on earth. That's another discussion for another day. For today, the topic is the cabal's attempt to take complete control over the global food supply and distribution system. Most of us know that Henry Kissinger once said, or maybe he probably said this more than once. He said, who controls the food supply controls the people. Who controls the energy can control whole continents. Who controls money can control the world. That type of global control is precisely what Kissinger and his Vatican loyalist cronies are after. I'm going to do another share screen here. This is the Mercola article I was telling you about. He summarizes the article in his opening bullet point summary here. Third bullet point, the globalist elite intend to eliminate traditional farming and livestock and replace it with indoor-grown produce and lab-created protein alternatives that they own and control. And then also this article talks about, while the presence of hundreds of food brands gives the appearance of market competition, the reality is that the food industry is monopolized by fewer than a dozen companies, and all of them, in turn, are largely owned by BlackRock and Vanguard. And by the way, speaking of BlackRock, it's BlackRock that is going around buying up entire housing projects. It's BlackRock that is driving this bubble of this housing market and real estate values to skyrocket because they want to control housing as well. And then also here, fifthly, eventually the article covers how your ability to buy food will be tied to your digital identity and social credit score, exactly as they're doing in China today. I'll send you guys copies of this. I'm just going to highlight a few points here. He's citing investigative journalist Corey Lynn, who he says takes a deep dive into the new food system being put into place, how it's geared to control you. She's been studying this for a few years now. And she writes, the globalists already control the majority of the money, are moving ever so swiftly to convert the energy system over into systems they are all invested in, and have been taking drastic measures to control the food industry while running much of it under the radar. She writes, if they control the seeds, they control the food, and if they control the food, they can use digital ID to control consumer access to the food. That's what this is all about. While a rash of fires suddenly destroy food processing, meat, and fertilizer plants during a time where farmers are hurting and supply chain issues are kicking in, an entire traceable food infrastructure system has already been built in multiple cities and is making its way across the globe. She writes, the USDA and FDA have already approved lab-grown meat, genetically modified cattle, and are funding the globalists to research and develop cellular agriculture, as well as indoor growers and genetics companies. Union Pacific is mandating railroad shipping reductions by 20%. This is where the supply chain issues are coming from. Union Pacific Railroad mandating railroad shipping reductions by 20%, impacting CF Industry Holdings, the world's largest fertilizer company. Vanguard, BlackRock, and State Street happen to be the top shareholders of Union Pacific, and BlackRock and Vanguard are in the top three shareholders of CF Industries Holdings. They control the fertilizer. They're controlling this entire situation here. He says, combined, the three largest investment firms in the world, BlackRock, Vanguard, and State Street, have ownership in nearly 90% of all S&P 500 firms. They own 90% of the stocks of the companies that you see their stocks are falling. They control the stock market. Through their investment holdings, they secretly wield monopoly control over all industries. So the idea that there is competition anywhere in the marketplace is really just a clever illusion. While the presence of hundreds of food brands gives the appearance of market competition, the reality is that the food industry is monopolized by fewer than a dozen companies. And all of them, in turn, are largely owned by BlackRock and Vanguard. The growing fake meat market is similarly dominated by a very small number of large food giants, which again are owned by BlackRock and Vanguard. Well, who owns BlackRock and Vanguard? Guess who? It's hard to tell which of the two between Vanguard and BlackRock is more influential. Vanguard owns a large share of BlackRock. Owners and stockholders of Vanguard include Rothschild Investment Corporation. Oh, there's the Rothschilds. Edmund de Rothschild Holding, the Italian Orsini Company, the American Bush Family, there they are, the British Royal Family, Prince Charles, etc., the DuPont Family, and the Morgan, J.P. Morgan, Vanderbilt, and Rockefeller. All those same families that have controlled, they control the media, they control just about everything. That's what they want. They want to control everything. BlackRock, meanwhile, has been called the fourth branch of government. They are the only private firm that has financial agreements to lend money to the central banking system. No doubt the Vatican has a hold in all this as well, because it all goes back to the Bank of Rome. He talks here about food security is undermined by patentable food. In 2014, the U.S. Congress established the Foundation for Food and Agriculture Research, which is FFAR, through the Farm Bill. After siphoning off $200 million in taxpayer funds to get the foundation started, FFAR became a non-governmental, not-for-profit organization. Bill Gates, there's Bill Gates, one of its founders. The mission of FFAR is to connect funders, researchers, and farmers through public-private partnerships to support audacious research addressing the biggest food and agriculture challenges. In reality, it's been used to undermine food security by increasing reliance on gene-edited and patentable foods. In April 2019, FFAR launched Precision Indoor Plants Consortium, a private public-private partnership of indoor growers, breeders, and genetic companies with the shared goal of advancing speed breeding and altering plant chemicals responsible for flavor, nutrition, and medicinal value. Five key crops being worked on are lettuce, tomatoes, strawberries, cilantro, and blueberries. In August 2020, Monsanto Bayer helped fund a startup called Unfold, which develops new vegetable seed varieties specifically geared for vertical farms. These are these indoor buildings, multiple stories, with artificial light, where they're growing all of these various genetically modified foods. Bill Gates insists that droughts and climate change is destroying our ability to farm, and that the future, this is his imagination, will consist of populations moving into metropolitan cities where indoor vertical farming is necessary to feed people. It's not droughts and climate change that is destroying our ability to farm. It's these companies, it's Bill Gates and company buying up farmland, controlling where, how much fertilizer they can get, etc., etc. That's who is destroying our ability to farm. So this is Corey Lynn talking again. If this is the case, why has he acquired 242,000 acres of farmland over the past decade while simultaneously investing in indoor vertical farming? Who gets to sit at the table with healthy produce served up by Gates while the rest of the population eats gene-edited produce from lockdown facilities delivered to their local grocery store, accessed only through a digital ID, Lynn asks. This is the future Bill Gates and company has planned for everybody. She asks the question, what's going to happen to the farmers when these astronomically enormous indoor vertical farm facilities have taken over every major city, locked in contracts with all major grocery store chains, and are funded by some of the same billionaire globalists who are seeking to control human beings through every industry for their fourth industrial revolution? Good question. Controlled demolition of the protein supply is underway, etc., etc. Fertilizer talks about fertilizer shortage. U.S. and U.K. are paying farmers not to farm all their available land, etc. Mercola writes, in a blatantly self-serving gesture, Gates has publicly called for the West to quit eating beef and transition to lab-grown meats, ostensibly to address climate change. He's not going to do that. He wants the rest of us to do that. He's also railed against legislative attempts to make sure fake meats are properly labeled, since labeling would slow down public acceptance. So, Corey Lynn concludes, their ultimate goal, this is the goal of the globalists, that every human being, every piece of food, resource, and product on this planet will be tracked and traced via blockchain. This isn't a theory, it is their goal. In July 2021, the FDA released their new era of smarter food safety, which consists of using tech-enabled traceability for a digital traceable food system. Digital traceable food system from farm to plate using blockchain. A digital identity to grant access to establishments, control financial spending, and trace everyone's moves has been rolling out on multiple fronts, including the vaccine ID passport. Eventually they will try to move toward a chip, as it will be easier with biometrics being installed everywhere. Where's the chip going to go? Mark of the Beast. This is all going to the Mark of the Beast, folks. She concludes, there's no way to sugarcoat the system they are implementing. Whereas vertical farming is brilliant in many ways and could be beneficial on a smaller scale in communities, the fact is that the global agenda to remove farms and control all produce by the globalists themselves makes it incredibly concerning. And so that's basically this article. I'll send you this. As I mentioned, Mercola fails to make the biblical connection. He doesn't mention the mark of the beast. But we know that's where this is all going. We see, those of us who know the Bible, know that God has prophesied all these things. We know where it's going to end up. And we know who's in charge, don't we? We do. We know who is in charge here. And so, as stated, I believe without doubt that we will soon see conditions right here in the good old USA where a measure of wheat or three measures of barley will cost the average worker an entire day's wages. As the ruling elite seeks to exert totalitarian control of both the money supply and the food supply. And so then, how should we then live? What are we to do? I have no surprise remedy today to answer that question. My advice has not changed, which is that we are to do precisely what we've been saying all along, which is to prepare as much as we can physically for days ahead, as the Lord enables us to do so, while trusting in our faithful Creator, Redeemer, and Lord to supply all of our needs. Again, we read in Psalm 37, verse 1, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers," because of BlackRock and Vanguard and the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers. "Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good." Don't forget to do good while you're trusting in the Lord. "So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." The Lord's going to take care of us. We're going to see some suffering, but He'll take care of us. "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart." By the way, again, if we are delighting in the Lord, our desires are going to be His desires. And that, therefore, we're going to get the desires of our heart. "Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him. He shall bring it to pass." I want to remind us today that, as always, the best way to be prepared physically for the difficult days that we know lie ahead is to maintain proper spiritual relationship and fellowship with the Lord. The best way to be prepared physically for the difficult days that we know lie ahead is to maintain proper spiritual fellowship with the Lord. Which is another way of saying, as I often repeat, that the safest place to be is in the center of God's will. It is crucial for those of us who will be relying totally on God's provision, protection, and grace in days ahead to be also wholly obeying Him as well. The first thing at the top of our priority list in planning and preparing for days ahead is to determine to be as obedient to every command of our Lord as we are able to be. Not to place anything in this life, including our family, our spouse, or our children, or our grandchildren, as a higher priority than faithfully serving the Lord. Stay in church. Don't prioritize other activities or other plans over faithfulness to the Lord's church. I remind us all that you never know what you're going to miss when you skip out on church, okay? Thomas the Apostle skipped out on the first Resurrection Sunday church meeting in the New Testament, and he missed a live appearance then by the risen Lord Jesus. And ever since, he has had to bear the title of the Doubting Thomas. You never know what you're going to miss when you skip out on church. We all need to stay faithful to the Lord's church. And as Paul says in Hebrews 10:25, "So much the more as you see the day approaching." The days are going to get more difficult, but even the more, all the more so, we need to stay faithful to the Lord's church. And then also, as Paul says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, "Let us not be weary in well-doing." That means doing good for others, doing good to others. "For in due season we shall reap if we faint not." He says, "As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." The best way for us to be prepared physically for difficult days ahead is to maintain proper spiritual fellowship with the Lord. That includes being properly prepared spiritually to suffer persecution in whatever form it may come, since we know the Bible says that all they who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Maintaining proper spiritual fellowship with the Lord also includes, as always, having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We talked about that Sunday. We talk about it all the time. We all need to develop a constant attitude and determination to win souls. We're in the last days, folks. There may not be much time left. We need to be about the business of winning souls, looking for and making opportunities to share the gospel with those who need to hear it. That's my message for tonight. In a moment, we'll be open. I'll open the floor for discussion. But at this point, I'll end the message there.